I've got an imagination here.
There should be, yeah. I was on it earlier.
See people that have backups of their slides and are well prepared. It's always a great idea.
It's a test.
And of course, a couple of things about that. One, I wasn't using PowerPoint, I was using that internet thing.
Yeah.
And two, I've been actually editing it all the time that I've been sitting there, because this is the kind of graveyard sort of shift before lunch. I got a couple of problems. That almost everything I was thinking about has been expressed so much in a so much better way earlier today. So I've kind of been just editing away like mad. Maybe we'll try Chrome and just see if they're real.
Yeah, it was working.
Yeah, we've got into Moodle here, so.
There you go.
Feel nice and released. Now I can glance at slides and remember what I'm meant to talk about. There's a couple of things I think that warned you already, that a lot of this is just stuff that people have said. We've covered an awful lot of things really well this morning. Mostly I've got questions. The other thing is, I realised when I was talking to some people earlier, I'm quite grumpy and negative, so I tend to look at all these things in a fairly negative way. You know that idea that people say, when you hear something, you should say, yes, and? I think I go, yes, but, by nature, so apologies in advance. I'm also quite old. So that was what social media is from Wikipedia. Stuff on the internet, I took out that. I scored out the bits that didn't seem important. And David sent out three really great questions. This is the last one, which was the one I understood best, so I thought I would start talking about that a wee bit. I'll let you read that. Because we're recording this, how can learners develop all this good stuff that we've been talking about this morning? How can they tell when they're safe and all the rest of it? I've got an answer, actually. Practice and reflection. That's what they need to be able to do. They need to be able to practice stuff, and they need to be able to reflect on it. I added that bit while I was listening to the iWrites people, because they answered all these questions really well. I was kind of blown away by that. I'd only glanced at stuff about that occasionally, and I realised that, yeah, they did probably nail most of this stuff down. It's like, you know, there's a fear, I guess, of social media and letting people use social media. We can see the positives and the negatives, and this idea of practice and reflection is the same sort of thing. And this is an analogy I've used I'm fairly fed up with it, but I think it's a good one. That we let children in schools out into the playground. They go out into the playground, and in my experience, generally they punch each other and they have arguments. They then come back in. I'm talking a primary school teacher. I know that there's ones why adults, young people in secondary school don't do this, but they come back in and then they talk about it. But we don't ban them from the playground because they occasionally punch each other or because they say nasty things to each other. We talk about it. We let them reflect on it, and we send them out again, and they punch each other again, and then they come back in and they talk about it. So, you know, I really think the answer to all this stuff is we've got to use it. And I'm coming to this sort of thing from three different sort of places. I've been playing with this stuff for what seems to me quite a long time. I've been using blogs and things since 2002. From 2004 to 2008, I used blogs and podcasts, and this was before Twitter really, well, existed in the start and took off, and before Facebook actually was allowed to be used by anybody that wasn't in universities. So I was using what I think of as social media, which is blogging and podcasting, and I did that. And when I typed that up today, I thought that was quite a short time, because it feels like a huge chunk of time in my life, because I've learned an awful lot over those 4 years, I think. And more recently I've been working as this product owner for Go Blogs, which is a thing I love, and that the idea behind that I'll maybe talk about it again sometime as we go through it here. And this is sort of a walk of shame, I think. I counted up, I've been doing a sort of gathering of where I put stuff, And somebody lent me some scripts and things to pull all this sort of information together from different places. And it turns out that I've got over 60,000 Tumblr posts. And I was interested in talking to Tristan there that your social media and your youthful and all the rest of it and ancient and should know better. So a lot of this comes... I'm enthusiastic about publishing and learning online, and I've learned an awful lot from publishing online because people correct you when you're wrong quite often. People help you with incredible generosity, and I think those are the things to remember about online communities, is that you see all the bad stuff, but there's an amazing amount of good stuff, and there's some fantastic resources and courses, but experiences on the internet, from weird MOOCs to small cults that you can learn from. So I've done a bit of this. And the other thing to think about is that I love this quote. I may not know, because I've done a lot of this, I may not actually know anything about it. We might be on social media all the time, but we don't necessarily understand some of the wider things about it. And I think there's lots, most of what I'm interested in is questions I've got about this stuff. You know, you could have posted 5 million tweets, but you have no real idea about what's going on, what the effect of that has, all the rest of it. So my first introduction to this was when I worked at Sandy Primary School, and I can't really remember why I started blogging. I was quite interested in having a school website, and this was kind of before the internet reached the school, so it was carrying things back and forward on floppy disks to home, and on dial-up I was publishing my children's work to an audience of, I would guess, zero, because when I talked to them, only 3 or 4 of them had internet at home. But I kind of like the idea of children publishing things. I like school newspapers, and I always thought it was a great thing for kids to do, to make stuff, to have wall displays. I'm not very good at wall displays, so the internet's much easier, you don't need to get it quite so straight and all the rest of it. There's a lot of good things about that. And so we started, and that grew into sort of blogging. I'd like to say that I had this great pedagogical plan behind this, that I'd thought this out really carefully and how it would affect the learners and all those sort of brilliant questions Apple had, but actually I just tried it to see what happened, and it seemed like a good idea at the time. And I found these great things that the kids, because it was the kids that was publishing, that they got a sense of purpose and audience. And I know if we work in, and again I'm talking primary schools, that one of the great things you can do for kids is give them a project to do where they got ownership and they're doing this. And I kind of found that out having them create podcasts and write blog posts. And one of the things I noticed is when things went really well, it's when I said yes. You know, I like to say but, and I know there's a few things that I said no, that's too weird, when the children wanted to do this, or you know, that just will look silly. And every one of those I now look back and think I should have let them do that, because when I did let the reins off and had talked to them about, you know, what we were doing a wee bit, we got fantastic results. We got all this free stuff from the internet. People came and talked to us. People sent us things. Somebody sent us two giant boxes this size from America full of puppets. You know, just fantastic things happened. Teachers came in, people from all over the place, from Bangkok commented. A guy from America said, we were listening to your podcast and I had to draw my car over to the side of the road because my wife and I were laughing so much. The kids were doing a comedy item, so that was quite a good comment, you know. Just fantastic results. And it gave us a chance to think about all these difficult things, to talk about copyright and what we were doing and practice internet safety, because we were actually doing it. And we could say, stop, whoops, you just posted something that was a bit daft, let's just go back and delete that really fast before the head teacher or anybody else finds out. Let's get that out of there. And I was really lucky because there wasn't any rules around at that time, or you know, we didn't ask permission, we just got on and did it. And we did it, I mean, I did it carefully, I say. I was talking about as much as I knew about copyright and all that sort of thing. But it gave us a chance, and there wasn't, kids didn't come to school with phones in their pockets. They, over those 4 years, the internet use in the home went up from probably 10% to 80 or 90% of kids using it. So it was a good time to sort of learn things and probably get away with stuff because not everybody was following us, not everybody knew what we were doing. So after I did that, on the back of that, I got a job at North Lanarkshire Council where I still work. And on the interview, I just talked about blogging and podcasting and publishing for the web. And it seemed to go down really well, and I got the job, and I went there and started trying to support ICT in the best way I could. And then I found out that they were actually blocked from doing all this stuff by local authority rules, and we couldn't publish anything to the internet except through the particular servers they were using for producing websites. And that actually wasn't that good for letting pupils do it because it was complicated and, you know, they didn't have accounts, blah, blah, blah. It was hard. And that's when Glow came along, and the first rev of Glow. And then I started complaining about that, and because I saw the negative things, I didn't like it. And I said, this is not fit for purpose. And they actually added things that were social media that we'd started to use across Scotland. We started to add blogs, WordPress blogs, and wikis, and it got nice, and then it didn't improve at all. And a lot of people, I don't know how many teachers are here today, but there was a huge wave of negativity around Glow in Scotland, and it wasn't used. And a few years ago now, I think three years ago now, they were rebooting Glow, and somebody phoned me up and said, would you like to do this job in Glow for a couple of years as a secondment on the Glow blog site, which I'm going to want to talk about next. And at that point, I thought, this is a really great opportunity to fall flat on their face here, because if we get repeat... we don't. And John Sexton up there was doing the thing, same thing, and Ian Stewart and some other folk. And we managed to, and I'm not going to talk about the rest of Glow, Athol talked about that, there's hundreds of great things in there, but I'm talking about the blogs because they are, to me, social and can be public media. And we rebooted those, we made them into a reasonable, modern WordPress setup, which isn't to everybody's liking, because if you've got 160,000 blogs hanging off a service, you can't just fire in and play around with a spanner and change things, which is a great disappointment to me because I like things changing quickly. And one of the complaints I had about the old system was it didn't change fast enough. And now the new system is changing, but it's probably slower than everybody would like. But I can now begin to see that's quite a good idea when you've got that responsibility. But I actually think, you know, what are they good for? Absolutely everything, because we've got a system now that we can publish to the internet or make a small group for, and it's a blog, and we're now part of the real internet, as I kind of like to call it. And we've got all these different people are using the blogs to publish stuff, from people at university. Yesterday I was looking at the front page of Glow Blogs, which lists the last 40 blogs published on each of the sort of subdomains or whatever, and I noticed that there was tons of them with university, UWS in the title, and this was a big tranche. It looked like about 100, I'm guessing, have just set up blogs, students have just set up blogs in the University of West of Scotland to use as e-portfolios, what's their publishing. And I think they're following the model in Dundee, where there's a whole 120 whole year group, I think, of education students who are publishing deep and thoughtful things about their learning and their journey to a teacher on the internet, where everybody can read it and everybody can reply to it and they can see each other. And what's more, we've got the sort of power and goal to bring those all together onto one place, so we can create our own sort of social media centre. For, and I would presume maybe the University of West Scotland will follow that pattern. So you can go to a page, another blog that the University of Dundee have set up, and you can see all these different blog posts flowing in from all these individuals' blogs, which to me speaks to allowing the users to own their own content. And that idea that we've talked about today, I think, about people owning their own content, but having the affordances of bringing that together in one spot, like it. You know, a Facebook or a Twitter, but without the maybe the problems around who's got my data, where is it, who owns it, etc., etc. So all these people, kids, are blogging, and they're blogging to the world, to each other, a lot of stuff going out to parents, some collaboration between schools, and a potential worldwide audience. I don't know if we're using this to what I would think, this is maybe not what everybody would think, it's full potential, because I think the potential is for pupils publishing, but it's building up, and there's more and more stuff publishing all the time. And you know, they're doing all sorts of things, they're publishing a book, lots and lots of, there's a wee girl to a teacher school in Islay who's got a blog about cakes and there's head teachers who are publishing thoughts and exactly where they are. One teacher I know in North Lancashire, he tells parents where he is every day. You know, I'll be in primary two observing at this such a time, I'll be at a head teacher meeting at this such a time, sort of just piling out the information there. You can publish audio, you can publish video, you can hook in other things from YouTube or whatever and pull that in. You can pull in content from other areas of Glow, from you could put a Yammer feed in there, although people still need to log in to see it. You could bring in content from Sway and things inside Glow. There's a system for e-portfolios, not the one that's been used by the universities, but one that's been designed hopefully to serve pupils well, which works inside Glow. You won't see that on the internet, mostly because the blogs can be set to be private or only seen behind a login, and I think at the moment most people are thinking that's the best idea for young people working on reflecting on their learning, and maybe don't want to expose that. So no, that's the trouble with editing on the fly, you end up doing something silly like putting NLC and Glow across every subsequent slide. I didn't notice that. So all this stuff is, now I've just got a bunch of questions. Are we getting the best out of it, social media? Are we using it? Do we understand it well enough? Should the pupils, and this is the one thing I think is my answer to that second question is yes, pupils should be more involved in posting. A couple of days ago what I did was download, I think it was 120 blogs RSS feeds and parse all the posts in those until I got, I think it's nearly 20,000 posts, and the author's names out of those and just sorted those. And in Glow, your username is usually, your name is usually Mr., Ms., Doctor, Miss if you're an adult, and it's a full name if you're a teacher. And over 80% of those names in the blogs, and it could be that lots of children change their name to Mr. because they can't do that in the blog, but I don't think so. Over 80% of the stuff across the blogs was adult produced, so we've got a long way to go on that. And the local authority I work in, I think it was over 90% were adults. So I'm not saying, you know, I'm not casting any aspersions on anybody else. I think it's a hard thing to do, but I think that's where we'll get some goodness. Are we using these things? Are you using your Twitter feed if you're in school as a broadcast system, your blog as a broadcast system, or are you getting into conversations? Back when I was teaching, some of the best things happened when children got ideas from other schools. A school in Australia would read their blog. It's really hard to find the time in a classroom to sit down with a bunch of kids or get them to read other blogs. Because it takes a long time, it's reading that takes that, but maybe it's part of your reading, maybe it could replace reading something else as reading another class in Australia's blog post, because my kids would sometimes read those and say, can we do that? And usually it turned out quite well, they could do a science experiment I didn't need to think up, which is still, and I don't know how that fits into your experiences and outcomes, but we're meant to be flexible men. And in some cases people asked us, how do you do things? An Australian school again asked us, how do you dance the gay gardens? So we made a video to show them how to dance the gay gardens, and we taught them the gay gardens. Heaven help them. I can just imagine it's a car crash Kayleys are having in Australia and Boca Rolo and that sort of stuff. But by just broadcasting on social media, you're not getting the full benefit. Are you reading it? Again, the sort of look at Glow blogs I did, like counting the number of people posting. I'd love to do that with Twitter accounts. across education and see how many people are getting into, how many schools and classes get into conversations, how many of them have that up in their wall in school and are reading it or reading other people. And again, just as I click through a random 100 schools on Twitter, most of them were following less by far than other people than they were being followed by. And I'd be interested in, maybe somebody's got some sort of clever scripts that could figure out, are you following other classes? Or is it just you're broadcasting to your parents and all you're seeing is the parents say, oh, that's lovely, and there's my kid. Maybe there's an opportunity with Twitter to be saying, this is what we're doing, but having on your wall what other schools are doing and stuff like that, having that up. This is really interesting to me, that the costs and implications of using free and commercial software. You either pay for it or you pay for it in some other way, and you don't have ownership of it. You don't have, and one of the things I like about Globe Blogs, obviously, got to say that, is that there's not any commercial angle. There's still other things that are possibly problematic about the system, but there's no pressure for that. There's no algorithm, as there is in Facebook, pushing some stuff up and some stuff down. Friends of mine were doing a paper on a sort of MOOC, a university MOOC that was running a Facebook group, and the algorithm that pushes things up and down affects who's popular in those. It's very hard to get a democratic voice when algorithms are working. So we're doing that. How's the software designed? Where's the buttons? What do the buttons say? Do we need to think about ownership and copyright and bits and pieces like that? I certainly think it's important, but that's maybe just because I'm ancient and grumpy or something like that. You know? And maybe it's okay just to use other people's stuff. I remember back in school, I was trying really hard teaching 10-year-olds about copyright and, you know, using pictures they could use and searching for those and managing to attribute. It's really hard to attribute. You go into Wikipedia, Wikimedia Commons, and you find this great picture, you think, I'm going to use that, and you read down and it's under the GNU license 3.0. What did I write, Mr. Johnson? I don't know. I mean, it's the best one was a kid blogging, I got this picture from Google, you know. It's wrong, but it's a heck of a lot more right than just getting it from Google. But I thought I got them once. This was, I say, back in the day, I noticed, because you didn't have sort of free blog services, I got the logs from the server, and I noticed we were getting this huge peak in traffic, and I started looking, and I found out it was some of the images the kids had as banners across the top of their blogs. Now, these were made in paint, and they were sort of geometric designs that the children had made themselves. I couldn't understand it, and then I sort of found out where the old hits were coming from. These had been embedded as background images in MySpace. Does anybody remember MySpace? So they were embedded in the background. So people had hot linked our resources into the background. I thought, brilliant, I'll show the children this and convince them that these evil people are stealing their images and not attributing them. And I couldn't show them MySpace in class because it was blocked, so I carefully screenshot everything, got all prepared, came in, threw this up. I said, what do you think about that? And they went, cool. Their stuff was being used by somebody else. You know? And I think one of the things we've got to think about that copyright thing, and I think I love if people take something I've done and reuse it. I'm in various communities of people that make gifts and things, and it's great if somebody takes that and riffs off it. It's much nicer though if they give you a wee hat tip. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe something there to be talked about. The different type of social media. What's the difference between tweeting and blogging? What's the difference between blogging and podcasting? What's the difference between that and making a video? How does that affect it? There's that thing about, and I think Apple kind of touched on this, that the attention in Twitter. Are we training our brains to get these wee endorphin spikes when your phone goes, oh, like, somebody liked me, somebody did this, you know? Is the difference between like a like button and a favourite button? Is that different? Friends, all this sort of stuff. Do we know enough about this stuff as professionals? Are we involved? Do we understand? I certainly am asked quite often about from schools, how do we set up a Twitter account? Now this is them setting up a Twitter account to start using Twitter. They, you know, if you can't figure out how to set it up, maybe you need to just step back and think, have we thought of this all through? You know, what does this mean? Do we know anything more about internet princesses or princes than Tristan does? Probably not. Athos had no gifts, so I quickly found a gift. Twitter did this to me. I saw it on one of these technical sites a while ago that Twitter was going to turn this algorithmic thing on, that you wouldn't get your timeline in order, you would get what they thought was best for you. And I thought, right, so I'm going to get a message at some point saying we have switched to this system. And then I looked at the settings for some reason one day. Show me best tweets first was turned on. Who decided that? Wasn't me. I didn't say I want that. Who's decided which are the best tweets? You know, none of mine are there. Something's wrong. You know? This. I saw this blog post this morning, which is fantastic. It's a guy, Mike Caulfield, who's a blogger and I think higher education in America, and he was talking about software and this system for recruiting policemen, the exams in the States. And they send out emails, you do it online and you answer questions, and then you get another email saying next. And one of the things they're worried about is the sort of imbalance between white and non-white recruits. There's a huge drop-off in non-white recruits in American police. And this email, they changed it a wee bit. They added a line of text that said something like, I recommend reading that post, it's really good and much more articulate than me, but something like, you know, before you go on to the next section, think about what being a policeman means to you and your community. And before that line was in there, they did it as a dummy test. They sent out half, which is the same one, half as the other. And the half they sent this out, the difference had just shrunk completely. It didn't make any difference at all to the numbers, the percentage of white people that were clicking through to the next stage, but it did the others. And that's one line in an email, and if that makes that much difference, what is the GUI you're using in Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of it? What do they do? What do, you know, the way it looks, the ease, how easy it is, what's that doing to us? What are all these things doing to our brain? Do we even have a clue? I certainly don't. That's it's still saying NLC. I saw the Apple thing. This, I just hopefully I can open this in a new tab. I can't. I just stuck that link in. That was the nice picture. When Apple did that, I thought, you know, he was complaining about no GIFs at that time. I thought, well, I'm sitting there, I'll just pull this down and turn it into a wee GIF, because I'll add, there's no blogging and podcasting in there, and of course they're the most important forms of social media and they're missing. So I thought I'd get some more donuts in. And then I read the stuff at the side. The guy who posted that to Instagram is claiming copyright, and he's asking for people to use it in permission. Now the problem with that is there's nowhere in Instagram to add copyright. It just lets you post stuff. When you sign up, I suspect it says somewhere with, because I forgot to read the, sorry person, I forgot to read those terms and conditions, but I think it says all your photographs, your wife and children all belong to Instagram. But this guy here is saying, you know, people are asking permission, and he's saying, yeah, send me an email if you want to use it. And I did create it. I had the text officially copyrighted in the United States. And then other people are attributing it to the wrong people, and people are not attributing. And that's just one wee question. I haven't got the answer for now. Oh, that must be the end of my slides. I will say I was adding them in at a great rate of knots, but what I've mostly got is questions about this stuff. Is, are we using it in the best way? Do we know enough about this, about technology? Do we know enough about what Twitter's doing to our brain? Do we know enough about what software, what choices in our software? Do we know who owns our stuff? That's okay.
Thank you very much, John. That was most I think a lot of your questions are hopefully ones that we will also try and discuss. I know you maybe have to leave it in the afternoon where those issues, I think, will come back up. But again, there's lots of questions I've got, but does someone have a quick question for John? I'm aware we're getting close to lunchtime, so that's important. But questions? I have a question about the issues of kind of the technologies. It's some of the stuff that's happening in schools is there's some sort of convergence of some technologies, but in others there's kind of incompatibility of it, so people can't be in the same spaces and share that stuff. How do you deal with that? I mean, I was really intrigued by what you said when you started off. It was just that you could do stuff, but it seems that actually some of the barriers are getting more, you know, are increasing around about what you can do because of there's a massness now about people using some kind of platforms. Yeah. I mean that actually you have to have much more regulation, much more control, and actually that your point about Twitter, that people are they think they have to use it, but they're really less sure than they ever were about how to use it.
I think that's a great question, and it's a question I have no idea what the answer is. It seems like it used to be quite simple. You had blogs, you had Technorati that pulled every blog post in the world together, so you could search across all of social media on a hashtag. I thought Con Morris was going to be here because that would be a good one to poke at Con. But he loves this idea of collecting things together on a hashtag, but you can't because there's nothing, there's no search engine that's big enough to get all of Tumblr, all of Instagram, all these things, and pull them together. Some of these systems, and again, this is maybe knowing more about them, like Instagram, there's not an API for Instagram that lets you share things into and out of Instagram in the same way. When Twitter started at first, I was quite excited because people who could do just a wee bit of coding on the internet could do things with Twitter. Then they locked it down so that they've made it more controllable, I guess, so that I guess it'd be easy for somebody to write a Twitter client that just didn't show the adverts or promoted tweets, so they'd get rid of that, so that they'd get more control. So I think it's maybe what's important is us making platform choices that have more extensibility. I would say the open agenda is really important, you know, the fact that we can use, like, blogs are my favourite, but most blogs have an RSS feed, so that means we can pull together all sorts of posts like they're doing in the University of Dundee to one place. We can, you know, we can do things with them, and I think if we at least aware when we put something on different places what the affordances and limitations of that are is maybe the important thing, but we need to know about them, we need to think about them a lot harder, I think.